Well, good evening. It's good to see you. Happy Semana Santa and happy Good Friday. I want to welcome you officially to the United Church of Bogota. If this is your first time here, let me tell you a little bit about what our church is while some of our friends make their way into the sanctuary. You'll see that on the back of your bulletin here. The United Church of Bogota is a non-denominational Bible-based church ministering to the English-speaking community in Bogota. We're a diverse fellowship of Christians who want to encounter God in worship and experience the impact of His grace on every part of our lives and in our world. And the impact of His grace is what we want to experience tonight as we talk about what Jesus has done for us. What we're going to do tonight is we're going to tell you a story. We're going to tell you a story about redemption, what Jesus did for you and me 2,000 years ago. That story was predicted in the words of Isaiah, and that is the call to worship. It's a responsive call to worship this morning. I'm going to read the parts in your bulletin that are light, and you'll read the bold parts, and we'll call one another using the scriptures to worship. So here we go. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we read these words, it's hard for us to imagine that the King of the universe, the one who was present at the creation, through whom all things were created, would have to endure such shame. And yet, as we look at your scriptures, we know it happened. And as we hear this story expounded upon, we find in it our hope. Jesus, this is a people who is weary. This is a people who is forgetful. This is a people who is needy and often acts like sheep without a shepherd. Would this message tonight come through your scriptures and through these songs and through the table and through the message clearly in such a way that it impacts our heart so that we know we are a people who have a shepherd. You are good shepherd. Would we be a people who always remember the sacrifice of you, the precious lamb? So Holy Spirit, be with us now this evening. Inspire our worship. Aliven your word to our hearts. We pray this for our good and for your glory, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Matthew 26, verses 47 to 56. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer has arranged a signal with him. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus replied, "Do what you came for, friend." Then the man stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Put your sword back in his place," Jesus said to him, "for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scripture be fulfilled that it must happen in this way? In that hour, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple's courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. This ends the reading.
Stand and sing with us, please. Seated.
Matthew 26, 57 through 68. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of the law and the elders had assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance right up to the court of the high priest. He entered and sat down with the guards to see the outcome. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so they could put him to death. But they did not find any, though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward and declared, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.'" Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, "Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you?" But Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, "I charge you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." "You have said so," Jesus replied. "But I say to all of you, from now on you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look now, you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" "He is worthy of death," they answered. And they spit in his face, struck him with their fists. Others slapped him and said, "Prophesy to us, Messiah, who hit you?"
Day, Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful men, torn and beaten, then nailed to a cross of wood. Oh, to see the pain written on your face, bearing the awesome weight of sin. Every bitter thought, every evil deed, crowning your bloodstained brow. This the its maker bows his head, curtain torn in two, dead are raised to life, finish the victory's ride. It's the power of the cross. Christ became my name written in the
It'll be Matthew 11 through 26. Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, "Don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you?" But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew it was out of envy that he had handed Jesus over to him. When Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message, "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. "What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." All the people answered, "Let his blood be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them. But he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified.
Please stand.
Violent, helpless me, spotless.
You may be seated.
Matthew 27:32-44. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink, mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" In the same way, the rebels who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him.
Okay, adults, you get adult sermons all the time. It's time for the children's sermon. So kids, come on down. Come join me. Have a seat right here. Yeah, have a seat right there. You guys look great. Come on down. Nothing crazy is going to happen, okay? I'm just going to show you some pictures, talk to you. You excited about Easter?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. Kinder eggs?
I'm excited about Easter too.
Me too. Okay, next week, I'm going to go to a distant land called Scotland. Has anybody been to Scotland here?
No.
Me neither. Yeah. So I'm going to go to Scotland. And do you know what Scotland is famous for?
No.
Sheep. Like this. Look at all those sheep. Those are Scottish black-faced sheep, I think. I'm not really a sheep expert. But somebody told me that when you're in Scotland and you're driving around the beautiful green hills of Scotland, sometimes you see sheep that look like this. Now, that sheep is wearing a sheep sweater, isn't he? Isn't that kind of funny? Why in the world would that sheep be wearing a sheep sweater? A sheep wearing another sheep's wool? That is silly. Let me tell you what that's called. That's called a wool over, like pull the wool over your eyes, or a sheep graft. A sheep graft. All right, listen, let me tell you what a sheep graft is, okay? Imagine a little lamb, okay, a baby sheep that needs a mommy, okay? A little lamb that needs a mommy. Listen, if it doesn't have a mommy, it means it doesn't have any milk. And it can't stay alive for very long without a mommy. But the thing about little lambs is that if that little lamb goes up to just any sheep mommy and says, "Hey, can I have some milk?" That mommy's gonna say, "Wait a minute, you're not my little lamb. My milk is for my little lambs." And she might knock him out of the way and say, go find your own mommy. I've got my own little lambs." So how would you save that little lamb's life? A sheep graft, okay? Here's what a sheep graft is. You take the wool from one lamb, okay? So you take a mommy's little lamb and you take his wool off, all right? And then you make it into kind of like a sweater thing, and you stick that other little lamb inside the sweater, okay? So it wears that other lamb's wool. And then what happens is that little lamb goes up to the mommy, and what does it do? "Can I have some milk, please?" And the mommy says, "Well, you look like my little lamb. You smell like my little lamb. You must be my little lamb. And my milk is for my little lambs. I love to take care of my little lambs." Did you know that that is why we celebrate Good Friday? Yeah? The Bible calls Jesus the precious what of God? Precious Lamb of God. Right. calls Jesus the precious Lamb of God. He's precious because he never did anything wrong, right? He never sinned. He never lied to his mommy. He never stole anything. He never thought hateful thoughts about other people. He was the precious, spotless Lamb of God. And on the first Good Friday, Jesus, when he died on the cross, what he was doing was taking off his wool, and he was giving it to you and to me, like that sweater. Here's what Galatians 3 says, okay? Listen, this is the Bible. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ, and listen to this, have clothed yourselves with Christ. All right, get this. When we put our faith in Jesus, God's Son, who died for our sins on the cross, guess what happens? It's like we run over to the closet, we grab a new sweater, and we put it on, and we're like that little lamb wearing another lamb's wool. So when we come up to God, God says, well, I know you've done things wrong, but I don't see anything wrong that you've done. You look like Jesus. And God says, you smell like Jesus. I know you've done stinky things, but all I smell is my son Jesus. And then he takes care of us and makes us his children because guess what? We have put on Jesus. All right, you have homework, okay? I want you to ask your mommy and daddy, what does it mean to put my faith in Jesus? Okay? If they don't know the answer, then they can come talk to me. Got it? Hope you guys have a happy Easter. You can go back to your seats quietly. The rest of you can stand and sing.
be seated.
Matthew 27:45-50. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now, leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit.
I'm going to give you another side of the story from the life of David, written 1,000 years before what we've just heard read from the passages in Matthew. This is what David said, and see if it sounds familiar to you. Psalm goes, Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out to you by day, but you do not answer, by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted in you, and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. "He trusts in the Lord," they say. "Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him." Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast on you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me. Strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions that tear their prey open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in dust of death. Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircle me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. Jesus, on the cross, is asking the question David asked, my God, why? Why have you forsaken me? You want to know what the answer is? The answer is Andrew and Wiley and Juan and Janice and Joe and Miguel and Alex. The answer is you and me. Why did the Father forsake his eternal Son? So that you and I could be children of God. Why did the Father allow his Son's flesh to be broken, his blood to be poured out, so that you and I wouldn't have to experience the same sort of spiritual torment before the Father for our sins? Jesus fully paid for our sins on the first Good Friday. That's why it's Good Friday. If that is your hope, if your faith is in Jesus, Son of God, Savior of God's people, then this table is for you. This table is meant to remind you of what happened. This table is meant to supernaturally strengthen you as you eat and drink by faith. This table is meant to help you proclaim the Lord's death, Good Friday, until the day Jesus returns to make all things brand new. So let's pray as we come to it and as the elders come forward. Lord Jesus, your scriptures tell us that you were obedient to the Father, obedient even unto death, and we thank you. That's the only reason we're standing here this morning or this evening. We thank you that you were obedient. You were obedient in life to live perfectly for the Father, never sinning, that you were obedient in death to give up all of your righteousness to people who don't deserve it and to take on all of our guilt and shame. Jesus, what a comfort it is to know that the answer to that question, my God, why have you forsaken me, is us. Because you and the Father and the Spirit cherished people who don't deserve to be cherished so much that you would give it all away. So as we come to your table, as we seek to eat and drink by faith in you, we ask for your help. Give us your Spirit. Would your Spirit be here at this table, making ordinary things extraordinary for your purposes, for our good, for your glory. In your name we pray. Amen. The night in which our Lord was betrayed, after he had given thanks, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The same way that evening, Jesus took the cup and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is for you. As often as you drink of it, do so in remembrance of me. Christian, if you haven't been here before, the way our table works is we start from the back and we go down the front at center, and then you circle back around the edges to your seat. The elders will pass out the elements to you. We would ask that you please hold the elements so that we can all eat and drink together at the end. God's word says that as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. This is the body of Christ. Take and eat all of it. Scriptures also say that God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him, that is Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. Blood of Jesus, take and drink all of it. Lord God, we give you praise that the eternal plan of salvation, before time existed, before any of us existed, you had us on your heart, that you would send your Son for us. Lord, your people, having consumed your meal in faith, ask that you would make us a people who remember that and who are changed by that, who live like that reality is true as it is. Lord, we pray that you would make your church a people who are eager to proclaim that message to your world who desperately needs it. We can't do that without your Spirit, so strengthen us and send us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Stand, we're going to sing about the reality that it is well with our soul.
With my soul.
So here's the thing. Good Friday ain't Good Friday if there's no Easter Sunday. Good Friday is Forgotten Friday. So come back and hear the rest of the story. Come back and hear the most hopeful part of the story, that the fact that Jesus died wasn't the end. The grave couldn't contain him. I want to invite you back. We've got two services on Sunday, 8 a.m. and 10:40 a.m. You at least want to be here at the church by 9:30 a.m. if you're going to come to that second, because we have an Easter brunch, and we want you to be well fed before you worship, right? So come on back, 8 o'clock and 10:40, and receive the Lord's benediction now as you go from this place, from Philippians chapter 4. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may it guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Friends, go in that peace. Amen.